This is Chip Brim, and you're listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Get ready to receive a word that will impact your life.
But on March 3rd, 2018, he said, I will hold you, Candace Brim, Chip Brim, accountable for teaching my children how to stand on my word. Stand in me, for you see, the season that is coming will be one of standing, grounded in me. My glory will come from this uncompromised place. The glory of me upon each face, in a seated position, running each race. Glory to God.
Wow. Notice how he said, and stand seated. You ever heard that before? You need to stand seated. You know, standing has many definitions and many uses. You can stand firm. You can stand alone. You can stand trial. You can stand your ground. Different uses have been, you look like you could stand a haircut. We've used it in many ways, haven't we? I mean, you look this up and it's in there all kinds of ways. This book, the Bible, will stand the test of time. And has. The order given last week still stands. It stands to reason. That house stands on a hill. You know, he stands to make quite a profit. That team stands in first place. Right? That person stands accused. You don't stand a chance. Why, you can even stand up, stand aside, or stand on your head. Right? But any way you put it, standing is a position. And then I saw this one, to maintain one's position, remain firm in the midst of adversity. Maintaining your position. And the whole Bible is about taking your stand. Jesus took his stand, and we're going to talk about that. But how many know the Bible says stand praying? Stand praising. Stand rejoicing. Stand in your seated position. And when done all, what? Stand. Praise God. You know, the years ago, so we need to think about right now that standing is a position. It's a position that you're to take that firmly and don't let go of. Man, I'm telling you, I think about when God told me, he said, rejoice. I don't feel like it. He was telling me, take a stance. Rejoice in the midst of adversity. Take a stand. Your position. And then I thought about position, and one time he woke me up years ago. A lot of y'all have heard this, but I just want to quickly review it. But he kept talking position with me, and what he's talking, now I'm putting it all together. It's about stance. And I remember how important positioning was in sports, and I remember you had to get the right guys in the right position. And that's a lot to do with leadership as well, get the right people in the right position. And when you're in sports, you know, in baseball especially, you spend a lot of money and you do a lot of recruiting and you don't want a third baseman catching or whatever. You want to put them all in the right position. And not only that, when you get out on the field during the game, you want to line them up for the right position. Because every batter has tendencies, all right? So if a batter is up there and we've got the book on him, we know what he does with two strikes on a curveball because it's in front of us, the coaches. And so the outfield coach will move his players, the infield coach will move his players, and everybody gets in their position, right? And so that happens every play. While you're up there eating popcorn and a hot dog and Coke, yelling at the coaches, do something, you're not even doing anything. But, yeah, you're in your stands, in your position, and we're trying to get people in position to win the game. And so I remember one time, we're in a game seven as a championship game, and it came down to the last pitch. The bases were loaded. We were in the field. The bases were loaded, and they had the guy at the plate. And everything came down to this pitch, and it was full count. And so whatever happens next is probably going to determine this next pitch of who wins and who loses the championship. So I was the outfield coach, and so the pitching coach, he calls the pitch, and so we see what it is. We look on our charts. What does he do on that? And so I see it, so I move my left fielder. Center fielder was good, right fielder, and our infield coach, he moves his guys, you know. And so the pitcher gets it, and he winds up, and he's getting ready to throw. And right before he, you know, right when he starts to throw, our infield coach saw something that he overlooked. He didn't get it in, so he just wipes everything out in front of him because everything hangs on this pitch, and he just begins to yell, scream it to the third baseman because he didn't have the third baseman in the right position. So he starts to scream it. Well, we hear what he's screaming. We can kind of see what he's screaming. So to everybody else, you know, it just probably looked normal, but to us it seemed like this. No. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, you have him in the wrong position. And so he was yelling two steps over. He needed him two more steps over towards the line because this guy pulls that pitch. And so all of us, the rest of the coaching staff, we're yelling two steps over. And the third baseman, he was trained enough to, he saw it, caught it in the corner of his eye. And so he begins to turn, and he turns during the flight of the ball. So he turns, and he's going two steps over. Now, if a ball's hit straight at him, he's in trouble. We lose because he can't turn and make that play, and that would be dumb. But he went that way. We saw it. We got to get him in the right position. The guy turns on the pitch, line drive down the line, but he's there. That would have cleared the bases. They would have won the championship, but he's there. The announcers and everybody couldn't believe it. We catch it. We win the game, right? So we're pretty excited about him. So I'm sitting there thinking about that, going, oh, I remember how important that was. Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, yeah, I remember that. Oh, glory days, you know. And then all of a sudden, it was like I could see what God was telling me. And we have Christians today that are sitting there with their mitts. And they got their mitts wanting to receive from God. And nothing's happening. They ain't receiving. And all of heaven's going two steps over. Right? I can show you over and over and over when David got out of position and he lay down and cried until he had no more tears. He was out of position. And God's going, no, David, get in the right position. David, take your stand. Man, when you quit, when you stop standing, you get out of position. You're out of position to receive from God, out of position to hear from God, out of position legally to get God to move on your behalf, to fight your battles. You're out of position. Yeah. That's what you get to look forward to when you quit.
Yeah.
Quitting is not an option.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, man, when we had Jerry Savelle come to our youth camp, and Jerry Savelle got totally 100% healed from a stroke. Lost all memory, everything. And he took his stand. And he told us that story. And he stood and he said, I'm not coming out of my garage until I get this. He had to have his granddaughter dress because the whole whatever side of his body he couldn't use. He lost all memory of all of his family, every Bible verse, everything. So I'm not leaving the garage. He took a stand until I get this. He's praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And when they left the garage, he's still like this. They locked the garage, and he said, Chip, the very next step I took, I was totally healed. He said, do I look like a man who's had a stroke? I said, no. And he come out there, and he's preaching to our kids at C4C who you send and support. And he gets out there, and the general, they were waiting for the general, and he said his first words, quitting is not an option. Stand, amen. Glory to God. And so God, I said, God, give me some standing, positioning scriptures. And he says, I'll give you one. So Philippians 4:1, let's go there. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, is this Philippians 4:1? Okay. Joy and crown, so stand, do what?
Stand.
Fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So he's saying, you got to stand. Now, verse 4, we'll skip through here and go to verse 4 and talk what he's talking about. Rejoice in the Lord always. Stand in your rejoicing. Don't stop rejoicing. You don't have to, you get to. And again, I'm just going to repeat it in case you didn't hear me. Rejoice. Now, notice how he started this thing. Stand in these things. Keep standing in your rejoicing. Some of us have done it before, you know, and we've done it at times where we need it. No, keep standing in your rejoicing. Click. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Click. Be careful. You know what? Stand in this. Don't let care come on you. Cast your cares onto God. Take a stand right there. Man, that's a big stand you can take. As a matter of fact, it's legal. When you don't cast your cares to God, that's a prideful person. Because you're doing it your way, not God's way, not the Bible way. And the Bible says to cast your care, be careful for nothing, and take a stand. I'm not letting care come in. I don't care what I'm thinking. I don't care what I'm hearing. I'm not going to let it in. What's your alternative? Quit. You'll never see the other side of that mountain. You'll never see on the other side of that mountain. So keep standing, but be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In other words, what is he saying here? Keep praying. Keep standing. And supplication, keep being thankful. Amen. And then let your request be made known unto God. This is your move. Stand. Click. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. See, now God's legal and able to do his part. Because you kept your stance. Oh, you were in prison. Oh, you were in chains. Oh, you were in bondage. Oh, you were sick. Oh, you were this. Oh, you were broke. Oh, your kids did this. Oh, your marriage did that. But you stood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
There you go. That's right. Woo! Man, there's something about coming out on the other side. Some people don't even want to go through that, but there's something about coming out on the other side. I've been on teams, everybody said, you can't. Boom! How about all you haters now? You can't say that if you quit. You can't say that. My God, he created you to stand. You were created to stand. Keep standing. It's an honor. It's a privilege to keep standing.
Hey, it's Chip again. Thanks for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And if you're ever in the Tulsa area, we would love to invite you to Billy Brim's Church, where me and my wife Candace serve as the senior pastors. And if you want to plan your visit, you can contact us at 918-371-4589 or check out our website at www.aglorious.church. By the way, we have the best youth rally in the world every year in Branson, Missouri. Find out how to attend or partner up with us at www.championsforchrist.org. That's champions with the number 4, Christ.org. And remember, champions always prevail.